Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I think that the start of the baseball season has cooled us in New York from talking that much about it. Before that, that's all we talked about between the Giants and Jets. And joining us right now, one of the best in the business at analyzing this stuff. You can follow him at NFL Draft Scout. He's of Bleacher Report, the host of the Stick to Football podcast, and that is Matt Miller. Matt, Evan Roberts here in New York. How are you?
Doing well, Evan. Thanks for having me on, dude. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming on. Let's start at the top, and then we'll obviously go heavy into the Giants and Jets. Are we set that Kyler Murray is going number one, or is there doubt about this now?
You know, I'm set on it. It's that time of year, though, where, you know, we're 2 weeks out, where I start to panic a little bit. Because, like, I was actually just telling a buddy of mine, everyone you talk to in the NFL says Kyler Murray's going number one overall, which, like, for months, it was like, okay, Kyler's going number one. And now that we're getting closer, it's like, this could be the most elaborate smokescreen ever. And it's weird because the team with the first pick doesn't need to smokescreen anyone, but
right.
But they might be doing it. That's like, logically, Kyler Murray's going to be the number one overall pick. It's been, you know, rumored to be that way for 3 months now, honestly. So it would be the biggest shock that I've ever experienced covering the NFL draft if Kyler Murray's not the first pick.
Let me phrase it this way, because it would still involve him being number one, but is the smokescreen being set up that maybe they plan on actually dealing this pick and that they like Josh Rosen more than we all realize? Is that the potential smokescreen right now?
I think if there is one, that's it. Is that they're trying to bait someone like the Oakland Raiders, the Washington Redskins, the Miami Dolphins, whoever it is. Well, whichever quarterback needy team, maybe it's not the New York Giants, but maybe a team, you know, that needs a quarterback. They're trying to bait them into that. That's like a long, hard sell. And I think the interesting part is someone, here we are, you know, 10 days in the draft, right? Someone would be talking about the fact that Arizona would be selling the pick. Like, we've heard about the Jets selling the pick. We've heard about the Lions selling their pick. Like, no one has talked about Arizona trading out. So I would think that there would already be, in fact, the trade probably would have already happened. Josh Rosen is not the thickest skinned individual in the world. So stringing this out as a smokescreen, I think, would be detrimental to your ball club.
Yeah, and I guess they don't have to do anything with Josh Rosen, but if they had a deal ready to be made, or they made the decision, yeah, we're going to deal Josh Rosen, we're going to draft Kyler Murray, they could do that right now. What do you think the holdup is about that? Are they just not getting what they want for him? And do you think that they would draft Murray and actually keep Josh Rosen and let there be a competition between their first-round pick from last year and their first-round pick from this year?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple different scenarios that make sense. I think first and foremost, we have to remember that the NFL does not want the Arizona Cardinals to tip their hands. They want the pageantry, the suspense of, you know, hey, this is the first pick. You remember back in the day, like, the Houston Texans had a deal done with Jadeveon Clowney before they drafted him. Those days are over because of the rookie wage scale. So Roger Goodell and the PR machine that is the NFL, they want that moment of the fans. You know, they want that crowd shot of everybody glued to the stage to see who the pick's going to be. They don't want to ruin that. So I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't heard who the pick will be, at least definitively. I think secondarily, from a trade standpoint, I do believe that Josh Rosen's value could spike on Thursday night of the draft, because if you're a team, whether it's the Chargers, the Patriots, the Redskins, the Giants, whomever it might be, if you're a team that wants a quarterback and you see Kyler Murray come off the board at one, and then you see Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins come off the board in the top 10, then Daniel Jones comes off the board. If you're Washington at 15, the Giants at 17, the Chargers way down at 28, your chances of getting a quarterback in this class could really dry up in about the first hour of the draft. So Rosen's value could be a little bit higher on Thursday night than it is right now.
Where do you, and we're talking to Matt Miller, where would you compare if you had all the quarterbacks from last year, the top ones, obviously, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen himself, Josh Allen, even Lamar Jackson, and the quarterbacks you're looking at right now in this draft, Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, how would you compare the class of last year and how you felt about them last year and the class of this year and how you feel about them this year?
Yeah, so one thing that I do, Evan, in grading players, I try to grade players just like an NFL scout would. So I put a number grade next to them. And that actually allows me to historically compare players, not based on their rookie season, but what I thought of them before the draft. So based on that number grade, I would have it Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield. I actually had tied, which I don't know how that happened. That's never happened before. And then I would put Kyler Murray next, and then Lamar Jackson after that. So that is like one thing about, and this is the way teams grade too. It allows you to compare historically without factoring in, you know, that Baker came out and was just, you know, on fire once he got that starting job, or how well Sam played down the stretch, or, you know, the fact that Josh Rosen struggled. It doesn't take that into account.
Right.
1 year ago, what did we think of these guys? And I will say with Kyler Murray, I've never evaluated anyone like him before. I was still in high school when Michael Vick came out, so I didn't get to scout him. I think Kyler's the closest thing to that I've ever seen. Just someone who can beat you with such a big arm and a quick throwing motion, but then add in what he does with his legs and the fact that, you know, whether he's 5'9 or 5'10, that's a small strike zone to get low and hit that guy. I watched Texas's defensive ends twice this season try to hit him, and they can't. Like, they can't get low enough to get a shoulder on this guy. So he's truly a remarkable player.
If you're the Giants and they identify they want to draft a quarterback, I think we're all kind of curious if they actually will, even though Dave Gettleman has said, you know, he wants to find the heir apparent to Eli Manning. Picking where they're picking, two picks in the first round, obviously, what, from a value standpoint and from a play standpoint, do you think makes the most sense for the Giants if they do want to find that heir apparent for Eli Manning now?
So I honestly think, and I'm not the biggest Dwayne Haskins fan in the whole world, but I honestly think at six, that's what you do, especially because they have Eli Manning and they seem content on letting him prove as many times as is humanly possible that he's not the guy. So I think in a situation where you have, you know, that Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes dynamic that everybody's dying for right now, where you draft Dwayne Haskins at six and you, with the idea that he is not going to play football for you this year, and Eli Manning plays the season, you let him ride off into the sunset and retire or go somewhere else, and then you let Dwayne Haskins be the guy. Because Haskins is a one-year starter at Ohio State. If there's a hole to his game, it's that he can, you know, stall a little bit
right
in the pocket. He can struggle to find guys. So let him have that year of learning how to be an NFL quarterback, of continuing to grow. And I saw a tremendous improvement from him over the course of the season. So I think at six, you take Dwayne Haskins and make sure that no one else can. And then at 17, you go get that defensive lineman or edge rusher. You know, you get your Christian Wilkins, your Brian Burns, and check off that box for someone who fits the 3-4 defense.
Do you think Haskins is there at six, though? I mean, do you think that teams who are needy for a quarterback, because it seems like it happens a lot of times where, you know, we view the quarterbacks as not being guys that should go that high, but then they go high because teams are desperate for a quarterback. Do you think that happens with Haskins, or do you think he is there at six?
I think right now he's there at six. You know, your crosstown team, the Jets, are the wild card of this class because they are very likely to trade out of that number three spot, and it just depends on who wants to come up there. You know, it could be a team, maybe Cincinnati has Haskins as their number one quarterback, and they're willing to mortgage the future to go get a guy. Then Haskins could come off the board. But I think one thing that we're all consistently hearing in the last week is that, you know, there are teams that are higher on Drew Lock than they are Dwayne Haskins.
Mm.
So I think it's a little bit of a, you know, what type of quarterback do you want situation right now? And it could actually push Haskins down a little bit.
Well, yeah, I got to go back to something you said because it jumped out at me. They're very likely, or I don't know if you said very, but you said likely to trade out. You think the Jets right now are more likely to just move back than just select the best available defensive player, whether it be Bosa or Allen at three?
I think they would like to, but it depends on who's coming up. So if I'm the Jets and Mike Maccagnan, like, talk about a dude that's drafted for his job right now, right? So you're on your second head coach, you have to hit. So like conventional wisdom would say, just draft the best player available at three, whether it's Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen, draft that guy, he's going to fill a need. But, you know, they don't have that second round pick. And I think we can see that really influence them that, you know, if Denver wants to come up, well, at 10, you could still get a good edge rusher like Montez Sweat. You could still potentially get a good defensive lineman. So you can still fill those needs and pick up that second round pick where you can go get an offensive tackle because they're going to have a need there, if not immediately, then at least next year. So I think that's it. Are the Jets in win now mode, or are they still trying to plan for a future with Sam Darnold where Maccagnan and his guys think they're going to actually be there next year?
What would the – because here's my view on it as a Jet fan. It all matters what the return is. I mean, if I'm getting a future one, if I'm getting twos, I got to think about it. I do love the idea of just simply taking Josh Allen and calling it a day. What kind of return are we talking about for the Jets to be motivated enough to move out of three?
Well, I mean, look what the Jets and Colts did last year. I think that and coming up for a quarterback always makes that, you know, more valuable. So I think that that's something that you can look at as a framework where the Jets went up to get Sam Darnold. And, you know, they threw in a second round pick last year, which was what, 36 overall. They threw in a second round pick that was 37. So giving up a couple of second round picks and then a future two is something that I would look at where, you know, and there aren't teams this year that are stacked with those second round picks. You know, the Houston Texans have two, the Chiefs have two. They're not trading up to get a quarterback. But if you could find a team that would give you their one this year, their two this year, and maybe their two next year and a three next year or a two in 2021, you could really set yourself up long term. But it's going to take quite a few picks to make that happen.
When you view these defensive players, Quinnen Williams, Bosa, Josh Allen, if you're the Jets, and they're probably not going to have a choice of the three, they may have a choice of the two, they're probably likely to have a choice of the two, but give me your view on these three specific players, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, and Bosa.
I think they're the three best players in this draft, like, regardless of position, and there's a pretty, in my opinion, sizable gap after those players to the next guys. Josh Allen, you know, incredibly productive in the SEC. He honestly should have got some Heisman votes. He was so productive this year, and he fits the bill. 6'5", 260, fast, long, powerful. I think there are right now some at least conversations about, is he a true edge rusher? Is he more of someone like an Anthony Barr, who's kind of an off-ball linebacker who can also come in and go after the quarterback on third downs? Nick Bosa, I mean, you know exactly what you're getting because you see his brother doing it for the Chargers. I think the question there is someone who's been hurt twice in the last 4 years, but he has first step quickness that you can't teach, can't coach. Like, it's just natural. You know, he hit the genetic lottery, and it shows every time he plays. With Quinnen Williams, I think the best is yet to come. A one-year starter at Alabama as a redshirt sophomore, and he absolutely took over games. And whether he was playing nose tackle or in a gap, head up on a guard, wherever he was at, he impacted the game with either push, penetration, or just stonewalling players and not letting the offensive line get to the second level. So I'm undecided as of now who will actually get that moniker as the top player on my board. I'm trying to clean up notes and finalize scouting reports here in the last couple weeks. But I really like Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa. They're better, in my opinion. They're a little bit better than Josh Allen, but I also think that there are some question marks with those guys that you don't have with Allen, because we just saw him do it for 2 years in the SEC.
Yeah, the biggest question I have with Bosa is his health. That would scare me a little bit. Injury out of high school and then last year. What's the sense you get about what the Niners do? Because obviously they dictate a lot on what the Jets are going to be deciding of, because they're picking number two. They're obviously not taking a quarterback, so we know they're taking one of those three guys. Any sense on where they're leaning?
Yeah, I think they're leaning pass rusher, and I think the Niners would absolutely love for Nick Bosa to be there. So in this scenario that we're all building around right now, that Kyler Murray goes first, well, Nick Bosa is an easy pick. I don't know if you've seen, because you've been on the radio this morning, he's already deleted his pro-Trump tweets because he thinks he might go to San Francisco, and he doesn't want the liberal fan base there upset about it. Like, Nick Bosa's preparing for it. If Bosa goes first, I think the Niners take Quinnen Williams, and they're really happy to have him and DeForest Buckner playing side-by-side for the next 5 years.
That's so funny. Well, the thing we've learned over the last few years is that if you've ever tweeted anything, you should be careful whatever the tweet is, because it will come out. We've learned that over the last couple of years, man. You got to be careful with what you put out there over the last 5-8 years.
Man, I'm telling you, if I were a prospect, and I talk to a lot of these guys, and I tell them, just delete your Twitter history and then make your first tweet saying, I'm declaring for the 2019 NFL draft. You know, just start over, because if there's anything that you could tweet rap lyrics and like Josh Allen and have to, you know, come out and apologize for it. So you got to be careful out there.
Yeah, I will say this. And I mean, I've got political opinions. I really don't care about someone's political views, but I understand that in, you know, 2019, you have an audience, right? It's like Michael Jordan used to say, I got Republicans, I got Democrats that are buying sneakers. So I got to be careful. Let me get to Drew Lock, because I saw you tweet recently that you're finishing off a big scouting report on Lock. Give me your thoughts on him at the next level, things you like about him and your biggest concerns about him.
Yeah, what I love about him is his downfield throwing ability. And I'm in Missouri, so I've seen this guy play for the last 3 years. He is the best downfield thrower in this class. Just effortless anticipation, effortless power. He knows how to launch the ball to lead his guy down the field. His touch is really, really good. And it, as a three-year starter, he's developed in terms of that he's going to hold that free safety with his eyes. You know, he the nuances of the game that guys like Haskins and Kyler haven't quite learned yet, Locke has those. And he's a good athlete. He'll move around in the pocket. Now, on the other side of that, he'll move around in the pocket and he thinks he's Pat Mahomes and he tries to throw the cross body, no look stuff, and you want to pull your hair out. He also only one season was over 60% as a passer. So I think with him, you have to look at the scout, look at the tape and say, all right, how much was this his receivers dropping the ball? How much of it was him misfiring? And I haven't seen him a lot and then watching him in person at the Senior Bowl and Combine, I tell you, like, there are times his footwork is just god-awful and he misses the guy. So hopefully, you know, he's been working hard in this pre-draft process to clean that up a little bit and really have, you know, in college you get 20 hours a week to practice. You're not spending a lot of time on mechanics. So hopefully in the last 4 months, he has spent that time kind of learning how to use his lower body to help bring down the ball or hone in at least on some of those throws.
What did you think of Will Greer? I mean, he made improvements over the last couple of years. What's your view on him?
I like Will Greer a lot. And like, I like him as a person, which I think can also like cloud your opinion as an evaluator. You really got to separate the two. I do think that he could come in and be a fairly good NFL like spot starter type, like Case Keenum, and maybe he becomes a Kirk Cousins. Like, there's that opportunity for him, right? He's mature, he's smart, he attacks. Like, he's one of those guys when he plays, it's like he's constantly pressing the gas pedal. He's fiery, but you know, he's not that big and his arm's not that strong. He's kind of got a long release. He played in one of the most quarterback friendly systems you're ever going to see with Dana Holgorsen. Turned the ball over a lot in the red zone. So I think he's like a round three or round four type guy that you hope you can develop into a starter.
So if you had to guess right now, just to summarize, Jets trade out of three, Giants end up with Haskins at six, would you think those two things happen?
That's what I hope happens. But, man, we're talking about Dave Gettleman. So it's probably going to be Jets trade out of three, and he takes like Rashawn Gary at six and Daniel Jones at 17. So
is that it? Let me ask you, because I view it this way with a quarterback. Just take the quarterback that you like the most. Don't overthink value. Don't overthink, oh, but I can get a defensive player at six, and I'll get my quarterback at 17.
I agree so much, yeah. So we used to say that about the Browns, right? We used to crap on the Browns. Of like, if you like the guy, just take him.
Just
like,
take him.
Don't get cute. Just take him, because franchise quarterback is so hard to come by.
Look, if he has Daniel Jones as his top quarterback, then that's fine. Then he's being smart. But if he's saying, well, from a value perspective, I like it, what the hell does value mean? It's all about who's going to be the best player at the next level. That's all that matters. They got to find their franchise quarterback.
I mean, look what the Chiefs did. They traded up to take Patrick Mahomes at 10, and a lot of people didn't like that decision, right? Because he was this wild gunslinger out of Texas Tech who was all traits, and now he's league MVP and the best quarterback in football. So you got to call your shot. You know, Deshaun Watson with the Texans, people, you know, got all up in arms about his turnovers his last year at Clemson. Dude just won ball games,
right?
And now they have a certified franchise quarterback. So if it's Daniel Jones or Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins, whoever, like, you got to kind of, you know, put your card on the guy and say, like, this is our dude. We're going to jump on the table and draft him. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you're looking for a new job.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what happens if it doesn't work. You're fired usually. Matt, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for hopping on.
Anytime, dude. Have a good one.
Thank you. Matt Miller, NFL draft reporter at Bleacher Report, also host of the Stick to Football podcast. And you can follow him at NFL Draft Scout as we creep closer and closer to the 2019 NFL Draft.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.